I love these guys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. We are so happy this week to be talking about the Lions' victory over the Bears. I'm joined by my good friend John Drennan, and I'm Bill Radford, and we are excited to talk about a 52-21 victory over the Bears this past Sunday. If you can, check out the shlpodcast.com. That's our website. And leave us a note, give us a rating, and tell your friends. So, John, what do you think? Pretty good Sunday, huh?
What a great Sunday, Bill. And you mentioned 52 points. I do want to say two things about that. First, kudos to you, man. You picked the Lions to win 34-20 last podcast. I picked them to win 30-20. But then somewhere around halftime, you and I were texting, and you amended to 52-30 or 52-21, and that's what the score ended up being. And so good job. Kudos to you. Second thing, Bill, about 52 points, I went back and looked. In the first week of the season, the most points scored was by the Bills. They had 41. Then the Ravens had 40. And, of course, that was a Monday night game or Sunday night game. But then the only other teams to hit 30 points or more, the Steelers had 34, the Colts 33, and the Jets 32. That was week one. Let's look at week two as the offense has got a little better. The most points scored outside of the Lions, the Ravens had 41, the Cowboys 40, and that was in a long overtime. Then the Rams had 33, the Bengals and Seahawks each had 31, the Bills had 30, the Lions had 52. The only team to hit 50, and eight more points more than the next highest score, which again was the Steelers, or no.
Cowboys.
11 more points than the next highest. So I just think that's a big statement there, Bill, coming off that Packers disappointment where the Lions offense didn't get going at all. So that's my starting comments, but we got a lot to talk about. What'd you see in the Bears game?
Well, just real briefly, with the Packers, they did the same thing to the Commanders.
Yeah.
The Commanders have a good offense too. So it may be that we just ran up against a really good defense on the road. But, I really enjoyed the fact that all the offense was hitting on all cylinders. It looked like the offensive line was protecting. The running game got going. Gibbs broke off a couple of long ones, a couple of running touchdowns. And St. Brown was doing great. I didn't see Laporta a lot, which surprised me. Maybe I just don't remember it, but Williams had that long touchdown. I was texting with my friend that I've told you before is Mr. Negative, and he kept saying that that missed field goal was going to come back and haunt us. Right after he said that, Jameson Williams caught a 48-yard touchdown pass. And I said to him, curmudgeon that.
So, yeah, that was the same old Lions comment by that friend.
Right. He just knew that because we missed a field goal, that was, we were going to lose by 2 points or something.
Yeah.
But no, it was a rout. I expected them to win big because I think they're better than the Bears, obviously. But the amount of points they scored was enjoyable. And got to temper that a little bit, though, because we played a really good team in Green Bay and got handled pretty well. Then we played what everybody has to assume is not a good team in the Bears, and we throttled them. And now next week we're going to have a team that I think is better than the Packers in Baltimore. So it's great that they won. I was afraid if they lost, they'd be 0-3. But I think even if they lose to Baltimore, they can be 11-6 or 12-5. So.
Well, you mentioned the Packers. I think as of right now, 2 games into the season, the Packers have shown they're the best team in the NFL. I know Bills fans would say, give me a break. Ravens fans would disagree. I get it. But just how the Packers shut down two good offenses, and showed a pretty good offense. But, again, it's a long season, so that's just me speaking after 2 weeks. But you mentioned a couple players. St. Brown, that was the first time he had 3 receiving touchdowns in a game. I didn't know that till announcer said
Oh.
that. And you mentioned Jamo Williamson. He actually had 2 catches for 108 yards. One was 64 yards, one was 44 yards. That's.
Yeah, I was surprised they caught him on that 64-yarder. The guy
Yeah,
had the angle on him.
although he blew by guys and cut in, and yeah, I thought he was going to score, but man, that guy's got jets. And speaking of jets, Gibbs had that 41-yard run in the second half. I think it was late in the third quarter, where he was shot out of a cannon, burst through
Yeah.
that hole, and just blew it down the right side. And that was just so fun to watch. But Bill, I think well, two drives I want to talk about that I think were so meaningful. First, the very first drive when every play they had went over 5 yards and they got their TD in about 2.5 minutes to open the game up. I thought that was just so significant there at Ford Field to make that statement drive. But then, Bill, the drive at the end of the first half, the Bears scored. They made it 21-14. There were about 2 minutes to go. Goff went 8 for 8 on that drive. And of course, the last second to last throw was the one to Tesla down the sideline. You and I were talking beforehand about he only knows how to catch with one hand. He's had 2 catches this year, and both were highlight reel catches. But then we got a gift from the official who called him out of bounds, and he really wasn't. But based on the official's call, the clock should have been stopped. They didn't stop it. The Lions couldn't get it stopped. But then there was controversy, and they ended up putting 6 seconds back on the clock based on what the official called. And in those 6 seconds, Goff threw to St. Brown for a TD. I think that popped the balloon for the Bears, that going in 28-14 at half.
Yeah, I remember the coaches for the Bears were walking off the field like the half was over, and
Right.
they all got called back. But I don't agree that it, had they called it the right way, had they said that he was in bounds, I think the Lions could have gotten up to the line and killed the clock. Whether they would have had 6 seconds left or they may not have had enough to throw it in the end zone. They may have had to kick a field goal. But I really don't think that the clock would have run out because there were 16 seconds left when he caught the ball. And I think they would have got to the line and killed the clock. How soon they would have done it, I'm not sure. They may have had to kick a field goal, but that did take the wind out of the sails of the Bears because they were thinking they got a gift. The Lions were about to score and they didn't, but then they did.
Yeah, and you
And
may be
after.
right about that, being able to kill the clock. We'll never know, but getting that touchdown was big.
Yeah, that they never looked back after that. And then the opening of the second half, I think the Bears had the ball first and they went three and out.
Well, a big part of that, Bill, they had a penalty on the first play. I want to talk about the Bears for a minute. I know you've not been a fan of Caleb Williams. I've felt he's got great potential. I went back and so just for our listeners, I don't have the red zone and I do have the ability to watch the games on my phone, but I ended up going to a Buffalo Wild Wings. I live here in New Hampshire. So not a lot of urban here in New Hampshire. I drove an hour, found a Buffalo Wild Wings, and really enjoyed that. But then I watched the game again on replay. And I'll tell you, Bill, the Bears, their offense and offensive line is what hurt them. They had so many penalties at critical times where instead of a first down, they're looking at second and 20. They had so many situations, second and 20, third and 30. I mean, but Williams actually played really well. He made a lot of great throws. He scrambled a lot that prevented sacks. He got first downs from scrambling. And I really think with Ben Johnson and the direction they're going, you know, they're a couple years away, but they're not going to be the same old Bears, in my opinion. And I just want to make those comments. This year, they're
going to. Well, you're a bigger Williams fan than I am. And that may have something to do with. I just don't like the Bears anyway.
Well, but. I really disliked the Lions fans who were, you know, vulgar in their cheering against Ben Johnson. You know, Ben Johnson was a hero in Detroit. And it's so interesting. I'm not a typical fan in a lot of ways. It's so interesting to me that he goes to a division rival and all of a sudden, he's the enemy. Now, I get that in the North, we want to win and so on, but I just think Ben Johnson did such a great job in Detroit. I wish him well at the Bears, except when they play the Lions. And I wondered what you thought about so much media was coming out right after the game saying the Lions ran up the score against the Bears. What were your thoughts on that?
Oh, I don't. I think the running up the score thing goes away after college. You know,
Great point.
They didn't score in the fourth quarter, I don't think, or did they? They scored once in the fourth quarter. They took all the starters out. So
here was the controversy, Bill. They were fourth and six, and they could have kicked a field goal. He went for the TD.
And they got on the other hand, if they stopped him, that would have been a win for the Bears, but they couldn't. I think the animus toward Ben Johnson is that he went to a division rival. I think if he would have gone to the AFC and he would have come back and played the Lions at some point, he'd have got a standing ovation. So I think it has everything to do with, I mean, the only thing that would have been worse is if he'd have gone to Green Bay. Of course, they're not going to change their coach, but he left of his own volition. And he went to one of the NFC North teams. So, yeah, I expected he would get booed. I didn't think that he would get the vulgarity that you're talking about. But, you know, based on recent things in the culture, it's not surprising.
Well, I think you're right that going to a division opponent, you know, that heightened the criticism. On the other hand, just, he went where I think he saw this quarterback could be special. This team's starting to, could be special. And no doubt he got paid a great amount. So where he went was a personal decision for his future and his family. But anyhow, I just think the whole idea of that running up the score was ridiculous. And Johnson even came out and said, of course he's going to go for it. That's what Campbell does. Like,
right.
Johnson had no negative. And your comment's great. Running up the score ends in college. In the NFL, you play to the last second, and you generally keep your starters in, I think, too long. Of course, the Lions did take out Goff and the running backs and so on. But anyhow, one more Bear
I mean,
comment.
a good example of that is the Michigan, Central Michigan. They scored 63 points, but they could have scored 80.
Yeah. Yep.
So that there's a difference.
Hey, I wanted to make one more Bear comment, and then you brought up Michigan, but Odunze is a stud. And that guy's going to catch a lot of balls in his career, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. But even with that, he helped us out. He dropped a couple.
He did. Yeah,
Which
he did.
surprised me because he doesn't usually drop them.
Well, he made some really good catches, but he dropped a couple. And the couple he dropped, it seemed like there were four Lion jerseys within 2 feet of him. So those were
Yeah.
some tough catches. And I was surprised, you brought up Michigan, I was surprised that Colson Loveland didn't get more attempts. I think he had one catch and maybe three targets, but and of course he's a Michigan guy. But you did bring up Michigan, and for our listeners, we're Michigan fans, and that was great to see them turn loose Bryce Underwood, wasn't it?
It was. Again, that's sort of like the Lions playing Green Bay and then the Bears. It was Michigan playing at Oklahoma in his first game, and then now they're back to playing a Mid-America team, and they did what they should do. Every once in a while, a Mid-American team will come up and bite you.
Yeah.
But they beat them. Then they're going to Nebraska next week. Nebraska is not a great team, but they're a Big Ten team, and it's on the road, so it'll be a little better test for Underwood. And speaking of Michigan, I wanted to give kudos to Aiden Hutchinson for his first sack of the year. That was good to see. And he was instrumental in getting other sacks, because they showed on the broadcast that he was being double teamed a lot, which allowed Davenport one time to make a sack, and then somebody else got one. I think Branch got one. But when you double team somebody, that leaves somebody else open, or at least it should.
Yeah, absolutely. Lions had four sacks by four different players, and you're right about Hutch. And I loved when he got the sack, how he just kind of gave the fans their moment. He was putting his arms up in the air and throwing kisses to the fans, and his statement there was, "I'm back, folks."
Right. Right.
But speaking of Hutch and sacks, I draw a blank on the edge rusher on the other side, who
Davenport.
Yeah, Davenport. He got a sack, but, two injuries. We don't know yet how long he's going to be out with the shoulder. I am concerned with the edge that he may not be back. Muhammad looks great, but there's not a lot of depth now behind Muhammad. Hopefully, Davenport is back, but we don't know. So I think there's a depth concern there. And it'll be good to get back. Pascal, and The rookie that got hurt, we don't know when he's going to be back.
Yeah, they're saying online today that they're seeking a second opinion on
Davenport.
Davenport. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does, when you're seeking a second opinion, it's likely the first opinion wasn't all that great.
Right.
So.
I got some more comments about the Lions. Goff went, I believe, 17 for 17 in the second half and was, flawless. He's so good, but again, he got protection. So kudos to the offensive line. I know this was not the Packers defense we were up against, but there's no question the line came together more and was more effective. And every game we can win where that offensive line gets experience is just going to make us that much better. Kudos to the crowd. Oh my gosh, the crowd noise. That's a big plus. Kudos to the three rookies. I mean, I think without question, Ratledge had a better game. Tesla, again, we mentioned his catch. And then Tyleek Williams, I think's already proving he's a strong force in the middle of the defensive line. One thing I am concerned, not concerned, just it's like Brian Branch, man, you're such a great player. Stop with the penalties. He had the penalty against the Packers. It was ridiculous. And then he had the, if you watch, at first I was critical of the roughing the passer call till I watched it a couple times. He went up in the air, came down on the quarterback, but you could see him extend his arms into the quarterback's helmet. And that costs that penalty. Otherwise, it's a Terrion Arnold interception. So Brian Branch is such a stud, he needs to stop with the stupid penalties.
Yeah, I agree. Terrion Arnold got injured as well. What, do you have an update on that?
I didn't think he got injured, so no. Branch got injured, but apparently that was just cramps. I did not know Arnold had an injury.
Well, he was off the field for a while.
So, Bill, I liked the announcers, Albert, and then Jonathan Vilma. I just really think Vilma gives good insights. And I went and looked him up. He was a first round pick, three-time Pro Bowler, played in a Super Bowl, had a great career. And I just think he's got just solid insights as a color guy, kind of like Greg Olsen.
Yeah, very much. Matter of fact, I thought it was him for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a couple times he made different comments regarding the selflessness of the Lions, especially he was talking about St. Brown and how he not only is a great receiver, but a great blocker, great teammate, and just talking about the culture of the Lions and how selfless. You don't have egos out there like a lot of times you see or feel or pick up on other teams or players whine or whatever. So I think that Lions culture is special. And I think, Bill, this week we really saw the Detroit Lions that we've come to know the last 2 years. And so looking ahead to the Ravens, I know the Ravens have had the Lions number, and you gave me a statistic here before we got on. But go ahead and share that stat and then let's
Well,
talk about the upcoming game.
the last four times the Lions have played the Ravens, the cumulative score is 149 to 39. So the Lions are averaging less than 10 points a game against the Ravens, and the Ravens are averaging about 37 points a game against the Lions. So I suppose anything less than a blowout on Sunday would be considered a moral victory. I know we want to win. The the positive that might be in our favor is the Ravens defense does not look like it usually does. I mean, they gave up 41 against the Bills. They only gave up 15 on Sunday, but they didn't play anybody any good. Yeah, I honestly, I'll be surprised if they win on Sunday.
So
But
they
I would.
play Monday. They play the Monday night game.
Well, then I'd really be surprised if they won on Sunday. But that being said, I would be surprised in any game for the Ravens to lose. They should not have lost that game against Buffalo, save for a Derrick Henry fumble, which never happens. But they the Ravens are a great team. They have their two best offensive players. We were talking about this yesterday. Their two best offensive players are better than the Lions' two best. I don't think that anyone would argue that Lamar Jackson's better than Goff. Although, you know, that's hard to say when you go 17 for 17, but he's an extremely accurate passer and he can run like the wind. And it's very difficult for a defense to contain him. I mean, just last year, he was 41 touchdowns and only four interceptions, which is just phenomenal. That's more than a 10 to 1 ratio. And he, if it's third and five and they're going to throw for it, if they're all covered, it's likely that he's going to be able to run and get it. So they're going to have their hands full. They're going to have to be in a shootout to win it, I think. What do you think, John?
Well, first of all, I get everything you said, and just hearing the Ravens causes me to have concern because of those last four games. I think the last time the Lions played them, it was a 30-7 blowout, something like that. But and I agree with your statement. Their best two are better than our best two at those positions. However, I think when you start adding the other players in, our offensive weapons are better than theirs. And I think Jared Goff, with protection, is maybe the best in the NFL at putting the ball where it needs to be. But that's a big thing with protection. Now, I did see it looks like their top edge rusher is out with an injury. And, you know, I look and see they've scored 40 and 41 in their first two games. But I think they played teams where they probably had time of possession more than they will against the Lions. I think the Lions' offense will move and will score. Of course, the Ravens did get 40 against the Bills. I also think the Lions are really good on prime time, and the Lions have proved to be good on the road the last couple of years. So I'm going to stay with my prediction that the Lions win 13 games, that they win three out of four of each set of four games. So they'll have to beat the Ravens to, and then they'll have to go beat the Browns. I think the Lions 34, Ravens 31, a bit of a shootout. I just think the Lions, they got a strong roster across the board, and it's strong enough to beat the Ravens this year. That's my pick.
I certainly hope you're right, but I'm going to flip it and say 35-31 Ravens. I think the Lions will score. I just think the Ravens will outscore them.
Well, usually
I hope I'm wrong.
You'd be right. I don't want you to be right this time. But
I don't want to be right either. Uh, I think Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. He could have been three-time MVP last year. There was a lot of debate about Buffalo quarterback Josh
Josh
Allen won
Allen, yeah.
it. But how do you pick over a guy that was 41-4 on touchdowns versus interceptions and ran for, I think he didn't run for 1,000 yards. He got close. It was over 900, I believe. So, yeah, how sometimes it's voter fatigue when they're choosing these guys for MVP. I mean, I think that happens in all the sports, but yeah, I just think the Ravens at home. Now, maybe there'll be some bad weather and that'll help us. What's the they play outside. So
Yeah, that I haven't looked at, and I don't know if even detrimental weather is a plus or minus for the Lions in any game. But I do agree, Bill, with your statements about Lamar Jackson. He's a load. Obviously, Derrick Henry's a load. I lived in Louisville, Kentucky, back when Lamar played for Louisville and won the Heisman. Very familiar with Jackson and his athletic ability. But I think this is the year for Lions to beat them. I think you're looking up the weather. What'd you find?
It's going to be perfect.
Okay. Well, good. I've always said for Lions to be, and Bill, we're going on this journey to the Super Bowl with the Lions. For Lions to be in the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, they have to play and beat the best teams. This year's schedule. They are certainly being forced to play and beat the best teams. And they didn't with the Packers, but this is the next test for the Lions. I just think they do it this year.
Well, I think we've gotten a couple of breaks as far as that goes. We're playing Cincinnati in Cincinnati, and we're going to be playing them without Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that makes them a whole different team, obviously.
Right. They're cooked. I mean, they still have great receivers, but they don't have the all-world quarterback to throw it to them. And even with Joe Burrow last year, got a lot of MVP talk because he had a great season. But they still didn't have a winning record. So
Well, their
then,
defense is going to struggle with the Lions, and now their
oh,
offense.
absolutely.
So,
The
yeah.
other thing is Kansas City is vulnerable.
Yep.
They're 0-2 for the first time in forever. Patrick Mahomes looks human. Jason Kelce dropped a pass that would have been a touchdown. Instead, it ended up being an interception.
Well, Jason Kelsey's doing podcasts. I think you meant Travis.
Travis, yeah.
Yeah,
I think Jason would have caught
that
it. Travis
was
Kelce.
unusual for him to not catch that. But speaking of other teams, Bill, JJ McCarthy, who you and I both agree we want him to do well, he did very poorly. I do think he's the future quarterback for the Vikings, but again, it's his really first year playing and he struggled a lot. And with that, the Vikings struggled a lot.
He's out 2 to 4 weeks. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, high ankle sprain. So,
Well, at this point, I think the Packers and Lions are the cream of the North. But it's interesting seeing just in general in the NFL. I mean, Tampa Bay looked good in their come from behind win last night. And by the way, we're recording this on Tuesday after the Monday night game. And Rams looked good. Chiefs, I agree, struggling. It's going to be an interesting
Chargers look good.
who?
The
Chargers.
Chargers.
Yeah. Yep.
They shut down the Chiefs and then they shut down the Raiders last night. watch it. I watched maybe the first quarter, and then it's too late for me in the Atlantic time zone. Everybody might not realize I'm living in Nova Scotia, Canada, which is the Atlantic time zone's an hour later than Eastern. So when it says 8 o'clock Eastern time, it's 9 o'clock for me. So that game was starting at 11 Eastern. It was midnight for me, and I was not going to watch the whole game.
Well, I didn't watch it all either, but Chargers came out ahead of a Raiders team that's looking better and better. And my last comment, Bill, on the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts are 2-0, and they have not punted in two games.
Yeah.
That is a rare stat there.
That's right. I watched Pardon the Interruption. They were making a joke about the, are they going to pay the punter?
Right.
Because he's been on vacation. But that just shows you how sometimes a change of venue can really help a player. Because Daniel Jones was just pilloried in New York playing for the Giants. And now it turns out that he's actually pretty good.
Well, you mentioned a Jones and change of scenery, Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Replace Brock Purdy, who must be injured for the 49ers, and they're 2-0. So
Right.
go
Right.
figure. All right,
And
my.
Baker Mayfield's the same situation. I mean, he was with Cleveland and they couldn't get anything done, and then now he's with Tampa and he's a very good quarterback.
Yeah, Cleveland ought to try and get him back. Their quarterback woes, and
I'm sure that Baker would not want to go back there.
nah, you're right. All right, Bill. Well, it feels good to be a Lions fan, and
Yes, it
let's see
is.
what happens Monday night. We'll come back next week, folks, and talk about it. And again, we hope you go to our website, the SHL, which stands for Secondhand Lions. Podcast.com, the SHL podcast.com, and stay with us and share us with the Lions fans you have out there. So appreciate you, Bill.
All right, John. See you next week.
All right. Take care. Bye for now.